I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Heads up, somehow for the second episode in a row, we end up talking about bird reproduction on the show. Just wanted to let you know. That said, here's the show.
It was a fun night. It was a late night. It's a 6 train. I don't know if you guys know about the 6 train. It goes from Pelham Bay Park all the way to the Brooklyn Bridge. So we're out in the city having fun, chilling, dancing. So there's a lot of music going on. Get flipped to the back a few times throughout the night. I fall on the floor a couple times in the night. And then we wobbled. It was a wobbly walk to the train. Mm-hmm. I was getting a little car sick, you know. So we get on the 6 now, and I just remember my owner sleeping. Noodles is dozing off.
Noodles is your owner?
Yeah. And I just keep seeing the other side of the train, like, tilt and tilt and tilt. You know, so I'm just hoping that I don't fall. I'm on his head, and I know inside that head, he's probably dreaming. And I'm just kind of hoping he's having a nightmare or a bad dream where it'll just snap him out of his sleep. But no. I remember falling off, rolling onto the seat, being upside down. Do you know what it's like to be upside down on a train seat?
No. I'm picturing like a turtle on its back.
Yeah, that's what it's like. I'm immobile. I can't do anything. I was just praying that nobody sat on me. And then all of a sudden, stop. Stand clear of the closing doors. He gets up and he's gone. Somebody gets on the train and they look at me and they put me on their head and that's how I lost Noodles and gained Derek. My name is Petey. Petey the Hat. I'm a Montreal Expo baseball cap.
And that's not a team that exists anymore.
Not that I know of, no.
Have you ever seen another Expos hat?
Not since I got separated from my siblings, no. And it's sad because I spent so much time with my siblings and I seen them go. You know, my size is actually a 7 5/8, so you have like, you know, my little brothers are like 7 1/2. Mm-hmm. I got big brothers. I got a 7 3/4. I got an 8, mm-hmm. You know.
So have you ever seen an adjustable cap?
Yeah. I've seen those in my neighborhood a few times. I mean, in the Bronx. Mm. I like sometimes dudes won't even snap it. You know,
really?
I love that innovation. Yeah.
I've never seen that.
Because they're so about the actual cap. Doesn't matter how it fits. I've seen instances where guys have had dreads and like they have them up like Marge Simpson, and they'll just put the hat on top of the dreads, on top of the hill.
So a good 2 feet above the head.
Yeah. It just looks weird, man.
What do you think it's like to be up there?
Man, that's like the penthouse, man. That's the penthouse suite of heads. You see everything. You see the pigeons under the bodega awnings. Probably see inside of first floor windows. You see like the cab from 3 blocks away with the light on. You're like, a cab's coming, you know. You can probably see my squatchy.
Your what?
A squatchy. It's the button on the top of the hat. It's a squatchy.
That's called a squatchy?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Bronx is like, that's New York Yankees country, as I understand. Like,
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
What's it like being an Expos hat? Like, being anything but a Yankees hat?
There? A lot of questions. Yeah. I get a lot of questions. I get. Yo, are you from Montreal? They don't understand.
Right, yeah.
But from what I understand, I just go well with a lot of sneakers and clothing articles.
Uh-huh.
That white and blue. I pair well. Yeah. I say yes.
Yeah. Do you ever wish you were a Yankees hat?
Sometimes I do. You know, sometimes I do. But then sometimes I don't. Because I feel like if you're, you know, with all due respect to my cousins, the Yankee hats, you get lost in the sauce is what they say sometimes. You know, there's so many Yankee hats. I turn around, there's a gazillion Yankee hats. There's only one of me, you know?
Yeah.
There's all kind of people representing the Yankee hats, and that's cool. You know, that's cool. It's whatever. But me, I'm like, I think they say it's an anomaly, you know? You know, I remember the first time we went outside, people were like, yo, where'd you get that? You know, and it made me feel really special. You know, I never felt that before. You know, I never felt that level of respect, you know? The thing that also made me feel special, he never wanted to tell anybody where he got me. Yo, I got this at the Be Yourself store. That's what he used to say. And it made me feel proud that he didn't want anybody else to even find out my origins or where, you know, made me feel special.
That was with your original owner, Noodles?
Yeah, I miss him, man. I really miss him. You know, Noodles, he just had so much pride. He took so much pride in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he always made sure I was nice. I was crispy, you know. You know, this new owner, I don't really know, man. Derek is just weird. You know, Derek throws me when we go home. He just throws me in the corner, sits on me. You know, I'm all out of shape now. You know, I don't even have the original shape that I was born with. You know, I look in the mirror sometimes before he goes out, and I don't even recognize myself, to be honest with you. But, you know, Noodles, it was cool. It made me feel like I was a crown, you mm-hmm. know, for the first time in my life. Have you ever been treated like a crown, Ian?
I can't say that I have.
Yeah. Special.
It's interesting when you put it that way, because I think about like the people that love me.
Mm-hmm.
Like my wife. I think about like, what if my wife, to show me that I was important to her, made me sit on the top of her head?
Oh, you would love it. I'm telling you. You'd love it. Someone just sporting you around, you know, turning you around, turning you to the side when they're getting serious. You know, you'd be amazing up there. You'd be such a sense of pride, trust me. You might just start the new trend. They might not even do wedding rings anymore. You might just have to sit on your spouse's head so people know you're together forever.
It's a beautiful image. Mm-hmm. Petey, I think about you've got this thing on your, do I call it your front, your face?
That's like, yeah, that's my front. That's the front of my face.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it has Expos on it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it would be weird to have one thing that you're saying kind of representing to the world.
I feel like, you know, I'm bigger than that, you know. I feel like I represent security.
Security.
You know, I represent head security. I represent staying on top.
Literally on top.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like the ultimate head security guard. You know, I'm protecting you from the rain, the snow, the hail, that random air conditioner juice that might drop on your head.
I do think that about you, because like a lot of people have a favorite cap.
Mm-hmm.
People have a favorite T-shirt. But like with your favorite T-shirt, if it's bad out, you can put a jacket over it,
mm-hmm.
you know? But like with a favorite hat, you're always the sort of front line of defense. Like, there aren't hats for hats.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But you know, I was thinking about this the other day, because like I said, I have a lot. My family's huge, you know. I got so many different relatives, you know, different hats. I got cowboy hats.
Okay.
You know, those are cousins from down south. But now I was thinking about one of my favorite cousins is a shower cap. You know, so I was thinking, like, man, if we could just collab one day. Like, we usually don't hang out, but like you're saying, on a rainy day, it would be cool if we could just collaborate and just kind of come together, and then he could look out for me and I could look out for him or her. You know, we come together. I go on first, and then my cousin covers me. It's like a cover.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so when the rain hits, it's like protection. Boom. And then it's see-through, so you can still see the team, whoever you represent.
So thinking about all those different types of hats, your cousins, are you happy being the type of hat you are?
Oh, man, I love being a, even though I don't play or I'm not involved in the actual sport of baseball, I love being a baseball hat. You know, like I said, it feels like a crown. It feels like I'm royalty, you know. And there's like a lot of other hats that I could have been. So I'm like fortunate to not be another hat. Like, they have these Falcon sex hats. Have you ever heard about these guys?
Did you say Falcon sex hat?
Yeah, yeah. Like the Falcon, like the,
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. It's a sex hat that humans wear, you know, like, yeah, that's the thing. Humans, they kind of hard species to figure out, you know. Hats were simple, but like they have some sort of a hat that falcons will land on, and I guess they have intercourse with the hat, and they artificially make more falcons.
So there's a hat that a falcon lands on, breeds with,
yeah,
and then they take what's in the hat
to a laboratory, and they make more baby falcons.
I guess I keep thinking about what it would be like to be the person wearing that hat.
Hello.
Hey, Brad, yep. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm moving to a different spot on my property. Is this any better?
Yeah, it sounds a lot better.
Okay, got to hit the satellite. Okay.
So Brad, I wanted to talk to you about the Falcon sex hat. You've used one of these hats?
Yeah, many times. Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh.
Can you just tell me what it's like?
We work with these male falcons, often a peregrine falcon or a jeer falcon, and you have to be on his same level. You don't want to tower over him, be on the same level or even beneath him. So we assume a very humble position, often in a chair or kneeling, and you almost have to go into a meditative mental thing. You can't do this when you're angry or drinking too much. You have to be very much in the moment.
Sure.
And when that falcon, then he'll look at you, kind of stares at you, and then he may then very quickly flutter over and land directly on the top of the hat. And you have to remain very still, or some of them you can talk to them like acting like a female, because they make quite a racket.
Wait, when the falcon lands on your head, you will then chirp and make sounds?
Yes.
What?
Yes, yeah.
What is that? What's that sound like?
Oh boy. Let me try it. You ready? It'd be like a... There you go.
So you're doing this with falcons who, for one reason or another, have imprinted on humans.
Yes.
Can I ask, why the head? Why not have the falcon land on your arm or anywhere?
For some reason, you know, a male falcon mounts a female falcon on her back. By placing the hat on your head, and the falcon thinks that you're his mate, he goes to the highest point, which would be kind of like a female falcon's back, which is the top of your head, and he starts dancing around, getting excited, and you see, in a couple minutes, he may mate with the hat. But there are some males that actually they're quite moody. They're quite emotional because they don't all do it, and they don't all do it when you want it. So
that actually sounds very human.
It can be, and working with falcons has made me a better person. You cannot be getting, you can't get angry. You have to be very steady and very kind and very patient. And I've been married. Hey, this is a good thing. I've been married like 41 years, which is an anomaly. And maybe I can give some of the credit to my working with falcons the past 50 years.
So the Expos stopped being a team in 2004. It must be so weird. What's it like being a hat for a team that doesn't exist?
Man, it feels weird. You know, it almost feels like being an endling, you know?
Endling?
Yeah, an endling is basically the last of its breed, last of its kind, you know? You know, the last dinosaur, the last turtle, or the last seat on the bus, you know, it could be anything. Whatever's the last, it's the endling.
So the last of a species is an endling.
Yeah. And that's basically how I feel. I'm like that. That's who I am. I'm the last of the team is gone. There's no more Expos. You know, my team, my brothers, my siblings, everybody's extinct except for me. Just think about that. Imagine you're there's no more history. You're the history now.
There was a time in Montreal where there were Montreal hats everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I could show you a game if you want. I could show you a Montreal Expos baseball game. And I don't know. You just sort of tell me what it's like.
Sure. I mean, it might be painful, but yeah. It's almost like watching a movie about your ancestors that aren't here anymore.
Yeah, so this is a 1981 game.
Oh, there we go. Oh, man, look at that hair under that hat. I could only imagine what that hat must be thinking about. Keeping all that hair in place.
Yeah, this was a kind of mullet era of baseball.
This is crazy. I've never seen this many hats of my kind before, you know, like, I never even thought this was possible, you know, like a whole stadium with just my siblings on.
Yeah.
So do the hats ever do anything? Like, do they ever take their hats off to catch a ball with it or anything like that?
No, you're actually not allowed to do that.
Yeah, I don't even think I would really want to be used to catch a ball, because it probably hurt. You know, the ball's usually coming from high up, I'm guessing. The only thing I'd like to catch is probably just Noodle's head. Oh, man, that hat. I think I know that hat. That hat looks like one of my sisters. It looks like Tina. Man, it's like not much actually happens in baseball.
Yeah, for me, I feel like baseball is... watching a game, it's like it's indistinguishable from just sitting there.
Yeah, but could we sit here for a while?
This is Everything is Alive. The show is produced by Jennifer Mills with me, Ian Chillog, with Eva Walchover and Isabella Kulkarni. Thanks also this week to Emily Spivak and Chioki Iansen. We're grateful to the reporting of Sarah Curtis, from whom we first learned about the Falcon sex hat. We'd also like to thank Brad Wood for talking to us about the hat. Petey, the baseball cap, was played by Petey Diabru. Music in this episode was by Blue Dot Sessions. Everything is Alive is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. Julie Shapiro, the executive producer, is the noodles to our Petey. You can get in touch with us any number of ways at everythingsalive.com. We'll see you soon.
Radiotopia.